What a sad, pointless world this would be if that were true, I realized. Heidi died because we all die. Life is fragile. Whether it's old age, sickness, a natural disaster, or a silly, avoidable accident on the highway, something is going to happen to each of us that will end our time on Earth. There's an old saying that the only two things we can be certain of in life are death and taxes, but that's wrong. I've known a few folks who've never paid taxes. We all die, though, rich or poor, famous or anonymous. Which means that God doesn't need to take us because death is unavoidable. It's part of the package. In a funny way, that's what makes life so beautiful. You don't know how long you have on Earth, so you need to get in as much living as you can while you're here. Putting things off, waiting for some other time, isn't terribly wise when now might be all you have. Think of it this way. Isn't each day of summer vacation sweeter because you know school is going to come around again in the fall? Wasn't the ball Cinderella crashed with the help of her fairy godmother that much more magnificent because she had to hightail it out of there by the stroke of midnight? Life is beautiful because of its fragility, because of the urgency with which we ought to live it. Once I got rid of the notion that God sits up in heaven with this big calendar taking people on their preassigned days, I lost the confusion that made my sadness over Heidi seem overwhelming, which left me with the sadness, and that was plenty, thank you very much. For months, I got sucker-punched by loss and sorrow. Turning the pages of my address book, I'd glimpse her name and number and find myself afraid to look at it. I couldn't cross it out, how weird would that be? But seeing it was terrible. Someone else would answer that phone now, just as someone else was living in her old room at school. It felt like Heidi had been erased. Going to the Water Tower Mall in Chicago was hard, too, because it reminded me of Heidi's disastrous attempt to help me dress better. How I bribed her with chocolate mints from Marshall Fields to get her to shop with me. How she rolled her eyes when I showed her the cowboy boots I wanted to buy. How she made the "I'm gonna throw up" sign when I pulled a pastel-colored jacket off the rack. It was the 1980s. You have no idea how lucky you are to have missed the 1980s. It seemed that just about anything could bring Heidi to mind, and of course nothing could bring her back. I felt so lonely. When my friend Katie Couric lost her husband a few years back, she told me that one of the hardest things about losing someone you love is that the rest of the world goes on. Here you are, filled with grief, wondering how you'll move forward, but everywhere you turn, people are talking and laughing and arguing and doing all the things normal people do. How can they not see that the world has changed? At exactly the time you need other people the most, you end up feeling cut off from them, separated by a sadness you know they can't really understand. After a little while has passed, you'll notice that people around you were made uncomfortable by your grief. Want to know why that is? It's because of television. I'm not completely kidding. Thanks to thousands of hours spent watching sitcoms and family dramas, we've become addicted to the notion that every problem in life can be solved by the final commercial break. Some boy is experimenting with booze. Oh, something terrible will almost happen, and it will scare him into staying away from the bottle. His parents will ground him and then hug him tight as the episode ends. A girl vandalizes her school along with her friends. She'll feel guilty, then tearfully confess and get an after-school job to pay off the damages. Then, lesson learned, mom and dad will hug her in time for the fade-out. When someone you love dies, there aren't any easy lessons for you to digest. There's no, "gosh, I've overcome that obstacle" moment. Grief can't be fixed. It has to be endured, and it can take a long, long time to feel manageable. That's a hard thing for most people to face, especially when there are a million self-help books telling them that they can achieve anything as long as they work hard enough. My friend Liz Oren, who encouraged me to write this book partly because she lost her dad as a young woman, says that his death was the first thing she ever faced that couldn't be resolved or neatly tied up or finished. Though he's been dead for some 20 years now, Liz still feels the dull ache of missing him. Time has lessened it, but it's there.